Okay, today's daf is Memchet. And I'll read before Shlomo for the week. Sarah Racha Batova, Orly Pnina Baracha Fridi, Yomir and Batchaya, Fal Rachamim Avi Brachamim Ben Sipor, Rani Bat Sarah, Bahamun and Batchava, Hanalea Bat Fredel, Ayelet Hashachar Ben Shoshana Bracha, Shalomi Bat Yonamir and Batchaya. The Loy Nishmada of Tzvichayim Ben Leah Etzel Moshchayim Ben Hoover, Rachel Tzvich Shlomo Chayim Ben Pesach.
He has to come off.
Vidina Sarah, okay. Moshe Chayim Ben Hoover. Yeah. Okay. So we're starting today a new Mishnah, the place to start at the beginning of the week. We're in a slew of Mishnayot, as you saw yesterday, of categories of forbidden items. So we're now talking about the Asherah, which is the tree that was worshipped for idol worship, used for idol worship. And now we're going to learn there's three different types. Shalosh Asherotein, three types of Asherah. Ila.
Before you start.
Yeah.
Did they ever define what type of tree an Asherah is, or is it just something that was...
That's a good question. They didn't really define it. I understood that it's something that was chosen to be worshipped as an Asherah. Certainly from the context here, it sounds that way. I don't know that it was
a
particular...
The Christmas trees or the tenenbaum, whatever they're called, the pine trees, the tenenbaum.
Right. I don't know if they're... The Asherah. It's a good question. I have to look it up, whether Asherah was always a particular type tree. But it certainly isn't that any type, let's say, any type of pine tree, you wouldn't say it was Christmas tree. Right, same thing. Any type of Asherah tree, maybe even if it was a particular type, it wouldn't necessarily be an Asherah tree unless it was designated to be worshipped for Asherah.
Right.
So there's three types. That's what we're going to learn right now. You'll see. Ilan shenita'o mitchila l'shem avodat kochavim. Okay, so the first type is it was planted for the purposes of idol worship. So from the time they planted it, they intended it for use of idol worship. Harezo asura. Okay, this is forbidden. Forever, presumably, although Rashi adds, until the Obey Tochavim decides this is no longer going to be an Asherah tree. Gid'o o pislo l'shem avodat kochavim. If you trim it, or you cut it, or prune it, in order for whatever is going to now grow, right? We all know that when you cut trees, they grow better. So if you cut it in order for the growth to be used for avodah zarah, for idol worship, v'hichlif, and then you swap it, meaning, what do? You cut it off. So you cut off the new growth. Okay, you cut it in order for it to grow. Then you cut off the new growth and you do whatever you want with it. You can work, you know, you worship it, let's say. Notel mashehichlif. Okay, you can take what you, you can take that part. Okay, let's say you're now the Jew comes along and sees this tree that was used for that. So you take what was... what the extra that grew, according to Rashi, surfo kedin asherah, okay, you burn it, because it's asherah, you're supposed to burn asherah stuff, but the rest of the tree, the original part of the tree, is fine, is all mutar at this point. So once you cut off that stuff, you can use benefit from the rest of the tree. He'emid tachteha avodah kochavim, what if the tree was used for the purposes to worship idols underneath the tree, like in the shade of the tree? So if as long as you remove, right, benitala hareza muteret, okay, so then the tree itself is mutar, it's just the, you know, once you remove the idols that were under the tree, then the tree can obviously be used. So now we're going to deal mainly with the second case, this gid'o pislo l'shem avodat kochavim. So just to make sure everyone gets it right, we pruned or cut the tree in order for growth to come, and then we plan to worship that stuff that grows. So Amrei Debei Rabbi Yanai, v'hu shehivrich v'herkiv b'gufo shel ilan. So he's going to now understand the Mishnah a little differently. He's going to say that we're talking about either havracha or harkava. Harkava is grafting. Okay, grafting is where you take a branch from somewhere else and you attach it to some sort of hole in the tree, and from that you grow new things. So it has to be some sort of new growth is what we're saying. And it's not just enough to prune it, but the new growth, okay, so then if you then have this new growth and then you cut it, then again, that part will be usher, the tree itself. Hivrich is when you take a shoot that's coming out of the tree and you replant that in the ground in order for a new trunk to grow. So he says that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean that's what the Mishnah is talking about? V'hanan, but don't we learn in the Mishnah, gid'o pislotnan. It says in the Mishnah, you cut it or prune it. It doesn't say markiv or mavrich. It says gid'o upislo. So therefore, it can't be that that's what Rabbi Yanai meant, that's what the house of Rabbi Yanai said. Ela ki itmar de Rabbi Yanai le'inyam bitul itmar. There's two players here. There's the person who cut it, and then there's the person who canceled it out. The point is that once that is not considered. We talked about this beetle before. Once someone says, oh, this isn't, I'm not going to use this for avodah zarah anymore, then you can permit it. So they're saying now, le'inyan bitul, da'af al-gav di'hivrich v'hirkiv b'gufo shel ilan, ki natal mashi'chliv shapir dami. Okay, shapir dami. So let's just stop here for a minute. So now what are they saying? And there's two stages. There's the stage where you cut and you prune it, and then there's the stage where you cancel it. So what they're saying is, if you cut or prune it in order for it to grow, then whatever grows is not considered part of the tree. While it grows, it's considered part of the tree. Once it's cut off, mashich leaf, then you can, and you cancel it out from being avodah zarah, then you can already use the tree. And now they're saying, the chidush here is, even if, so that's true, the gid'o pislov. But now the chidush is, even if hivrich v'hirkiv, where now what happens with hivrich v'hirkiv, you basically are using the tree itself to help grow something new. So even in that case, ki natal mashechlif shapir dami. Once you cut off the new part that grew, you can then go back and use the original tree. Now, what's the chidush here? Demau detema kevran shevrich v'herkiv b'gufo shel ilan ki ilan shenita omitchila dami v'litzar kula. You might have thought that since you did some act that caused like a whole new rerooting of the tree, it's not just a part that grew, but a whole new rerooting, you might have thought that once you cancel it, well, the tree is still problematic because as once you, let's say, cut off the new part that grew, the tree now has some new roots in it that kind of were grown for the purposes of avodah zarah, and the whole thing should be asur, ka mashmalan. Therefore, it comes to teach you. So what Rabbi Yana's chidush is, yes, the Mishnah is talking about gito b'slo, but even if your kiv or hivrich, then still you'd be allowed to use the tree after you cut off the extra part. Amar Shmuel, okay. Now we're going to have a new thing. Hamishtachaveh le'ilan tosafte asura. If you bow down to a tree, then the extra, anything that grew from the tree after this, is going to be forbidden. So Mativ Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar questions and says, wait a minute. Gid'o pislo lavodat kochavim v'chlif, notel mashechlif. Gid'o pislo in, lo gid'o pislo lo. So what do we have here? Shmuel says that if you bow down to the tree, then the tosefet is going to be forbidden. But comes Rabbi Elazar and he says, that doesn't seem to work well with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, gid'o pislo lavodat kochavim, vihichlif, right? So Rabbi Elazar says, according to our Mishnah, if you cut it for the purposes of avodah zarah, and then it changes, notel mashechlif. So what does this seem to imply? That gid'o pislo in, but lo gid'o pislo lo. That if you didn't cut it for this purpose, right, then, one second, according to this, give me a minute. According to this, one second. Notel mashechlif, gid'o pislo. Okay, if you, according to the Mishnah, if you cut it, right, then you can take away all the stuff and the rest of the tree is mutar, right? Which sounds like only if you cut the tree for that purpose, right? But let's say it was only if you said, I'm going to worship, you prune the tree, and then whatever grows after you prune it is going to be used for the purposes of avodah zarah, and then we view that as the new part that's now considered asur. But the tree itself, once you cut that stuff off, the tree will be mutar. But Shmuel says, if you take a tree that was already planted, anything that's added to, and you bow down to it, anything that grows then, even if you didn't prune the tree for the purposes of idol worship, but just any growth that comes from it, I decide I want to worship this tree outside. From that moment on, remember, the tree itself, we said, was fine because it wasn't planted.
You don't want to worship the tree, you want to worship the branches that you are
going
to grow.
Right, so basically anything that comes after that is going to be forbidden b'hana'ah. I forgot to mention the important issue here, which is that The tree itself, the whole issue with the tree is it's mechubar lakarka, it's attached to the ground. So anything that's attached to the ground, we already said, like the harim and the gva'ot, the mountains and the hills, anything that's attached to the ground, what did we say? It can't be forbidden to gain benefit from it because it's something attached to the ground. We can only forbid things to get benefit from them if they're not attached to the ground. So the issue here is, how do we view growth from a tree? So according to Shmuel, anyone who bows down to the tree, it's true the tree is not asur bahana because it's attached to the ground, but any new growth is viewed as if it's not attached to the ground, so to speak. So then, if you cut it off, right, then that stuff is asur, but the tree itself is fine.
But then the new growth would also be asur.
The new growth would be asur, basically, any new growth. But our Mishnah said only if you prune it, does that create an issur for the new growth? If you prune it for the purposes of worship, so that whatever grows you're going to worship, then it becomes forbidden, but not just stam if you bow down to it. Okay, so that becomes the issue here. So Shmuel seems to say, even without pruning it, and the Mishnah seemed to say, only if you pruned it. So Amar lecha Shmuel, ha mane, who do I hold like? Who does the Mishnah hold like? Rabbanani. Shmuel da'amar ka Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Da'amar, now we're going to see that this goes back to the basic machloka that we saw 2 days ago on Friday, which was, do we say ilan shnita'o levasof avdo asur or not? So now we have, right, that we had this machloka about if you planted a tree for regular purposes and then you started worshiping it, we have this whole, we have this issue. Okay, let's go back. We have the harim and gva'ot, okay, mountains and hills, which are attached to the ground, right? They're mechubar, they're attached to the ground, and because of that, they're mutar bahana'ah. Okay? Then we have trees. Now, trees, in essence, should be also mutar bahana'ah. However, we have a pasuk that says about the asherah, bash, that you're supposed to tisrafun, right? You're supposed to burn it. So if that's the case, it sounds like it is forbidden bahana'ah. So we had two ways of explaining it, whether the asherah was supposed to be burned. It's a unique halacha that asherah trees are burned, or whether we talk about the asherah tisrafun was talking about specifically, if you remember, we learned it from, it also says tigadun, it should be chopped. And we said, what's a tree that can be chopped? It's when it was originally planted not for asherah purposes, and then growth came out of it. And the tisrafun is talking about a tree that was planted for the purposes of asherah. That's going to be unique halacha. If it was planted for the purposes, that was the first case in our Mishnah today. It's usur for sure. But if it wasn't planted for asherah purposes, then we're going to view this that it's mutar bahana'ah. However, what if it was originally planted not for avodah zarah purposes, and then someone decided, oh wait, now I'm going to worship this tree. Do we forbid that tree or not? Is that considered like a regular asherah or not? And on that, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said, it's asur. Okay, and that's Shmuel who says the Tosefet is forbidden, is basically talking about not only the tree itself, but anything that grows from it is going to be forbidden. And he's talking about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mishnah, which contradicts, well, we don't care if a Mishnah contradicts an Emorah, as long as the Emorah could say, I have a Tana who holds like me. So he basically says the Mishnah is talking about the Rabbanan, the rabbis who say that it's not forbidden. And therefore, when are they going to forbid the tree? The growth of the tree? Only if you pruned it for the purposes of growing, and then that growth is going to be viewed like an asherah itself that was planted. Okay? So that's how we resolve the contradiction. But matkef la ravashi, mimai de Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda v'rabbanan b'tosefet plige. Dilma tos. Okay, so now what they're basically saying here is this whole machloka that we saw 2 days ago, we're understanding differently now, because when we thought that we were talking about ilan she nita'o ulabasof avdo, we assumed they meant the whole tree. According to this way of understanding it, it's only talking about the growth and not the whole tree itself. Everyone would agree, according to this, that the whole tree is not forbidden. It's only the growth that's going to be forbidden. That's going to be the machloket. Is the growth forbidden or is the growth permitted? Because the growth is still mechubar lakarka and it's attached to the ground and therefore it's fine. And that would be the machloket between them. So again, how would it work out? Let's just say it very clearly. Rabbanan would say the growth is permitted unless you chop the tree, you cut it trimmed it, pruned it, in order for it to grow, then we'll forbid it. But if you didn't chop it in order for it to grow, then you decide to worship this tree. The tree is still attached to the ground. Anything that grows is permitted. Shmuel says, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, no. Because I now decided to worship this tree, anything from here on in that grows is forbidden. That's the way we're understanding this machlokes, which is very different than the way we understood the other day. The other day, we thought we were talking about the entire tree. Now we're saying we're only talking about the additional part that grows. So comes the Gemara and says, Rav Ashi says, who's to say that that's the machloket? And it's all of a sudden, right? You're changing the machloket from what we originally thought. Mimaydi Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda v'Rabbanan b'tosefet pligi. Who says that they're arguing over growth? Dilma tosefet l'divrei hakol asur. Maybe everyone agrees that any new growth is forbidden. Ubi ikaro pligi. And the whole machloket between them is all about the whole entire tree, right? The trunk of the tree, the roots of the tree. De Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda savar ikaro nami asur. And then what would be his basis for saying that? Why is the trunk asur? Because it says, going back to the Psukim Darshan the other day, Va'ashrehem tisrifun ba'esh. So what do you see here? The whole asherah you burn, that must mean even the root, or even the trunk. V'rabanan savre, ikar ilan share. How does he know the ikar of the tree is mutar? Because what does the pasuk say? Dichtiv, ba'ashrehen tigadeun. You only have to cut the tree. Remember? So why did they say cut the tree? Ezehu ilan shegidu o asur v'ikaro share. Where would you have a case where you only have to chop some of it off, but the root, but the trunk is going to be permitted? Have omer ilan shenetol levasof avdo. In which case, they're basically saying the machloket is: do you have to chop the? You know, is the tosefet asur or not? Okay, in other words, he's going to say, according to this, everyone agrees that the tosefet is asur. The question is only going to be about the roots themselves. So now, or not just the roots, right, the trunk. So now, he says, the Rav Ashi is smart. What does he say? I don't know if you probably don't remember this, but on the page, the previous page, when we brought their opinions, Ashrehen Tigadeun was the proof text for Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. And now, because we said Ezehu Ilan Sheikaro Mutar and Gidulo Asur, that's this tree that the Ikar was done for Avodah Zarah. The Ikar was planted for regular purposes, and then you turned it into Avodah Zarah. So Rav Ashi's logic is flipping the Psukim that we use as proof texts to the wrong people. In other words, the Tigadeun was all Rabbi Yosef or Yehuda's proof, and now we're using it for Chachamim's proof. So he says here, v'chitem ahadilom r'tatzin anhachi, and if you want to say, but that's not the way the Gemara understood it previously, ipuch, right, ahadilom r'tatzin anhachi, ipuch l'rabbanan l'rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda l'rabbanan, im kein gid'o pislo man katanela. So he says, if you're going to say that, Let's go back. If you want to say, but we use those psukim for the opposite people last time, ipuch, he says you can flip it. I'm not bothered by that. Why is he not bothered by it? Because how did we connect these? The Gemara connected the psukim to each Tana's opinion. But the Tanaim themselves didn't necessarily say that. It's not like each person said, this is my proof text, this is my proof text. The Gemara suggested this was the proof text for him and this was the proof text for him. So if now, in order to understand something else, the Gemara flips and says, oh no, we'll use this proof text for him and that proof text for him, that doesn't bother us. Okay, so he's fine with Ebook. So Ebook Rabbanan le Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbanan. But im ken gid'o pislo man katanela lo rabbanan below Rabbi Yossi. Okay, now we're going to say though, if you say that the ikar machloket is bitosefet, okay, then gid'o pislo doesn't work. Our mission now is not going to work according to Rabbanan or Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Why? I rabbanan below gid'o pislo nami tosefet asura. According to Rabbanan, if the whole issue is ikar, right, the ikar was okay, and then you decided to turn it into Avodah Zarah, so, even if you didn't do it, the Tosefet would be Asura, and according to this, Right. The Gemara is basically saying that according to Rav Ashi, if Gidlo Upislo wouldn't work because, one second, Ira Banan, Bilo Gidlo Upislo Nami, the Tosefet would be Asur. Right. That's the way it works. According to this, what are we saying? The Machloket, we suggested the Machloket was all about the Tosefet. Then we said, no. Rav Ashi suggested that it, in terms of the Tosefet, okay, everyone agrees the Tosefet is Asur. If everyone agrees the Tosefet is Asur, then it shouldn't matter if Gidlo Pislo or not. Right? Rabbanan will say the Tosefet is Asur no matter what. Whether you pruned it or whether you didn't prune it, the Machloket's about, not the, right? The Machloket's just in general. In which case, Gidlo Pislo can't be Chachamim. And E. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, what does he hold? Well, Gidlo Pislo, what did the Mishnah say? Gidlo Pislo, only the extra part is Asur. But remember, what does Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda say? The entire thing is forbidden. So, I Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Ikar Ilan Nami Asur. And therefore, it doesn't work according to either. So now, Rav Ashi's explanation is, again, how did we start? We said maybe their whole machloket is about the Tosefet, and that's what this machloket Shmuel and the Mishnah is. Came Rav Ashi and said, who's to say their machloket was about the Tosefet? We thought the machloket was about the whole tree. Well, if the machloket is about the whole tree, then this Mishnah matches nobody's opinion. So now the Gemara is going to suggest, in fact, we could say that the machloket's about the whole tree, not just about the Tosefet, and we could still read the Mishnah. We could read the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and we could read the Mishnah according to Rabbanan, and here's how. Okay? Ibait Ema Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. I'm sorry. Ibait Ema Rabbanan, the Ibait Ema Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. How so? Ibait Ema Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, because you could say it like this. Ki ka'ama Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, bilo gid'o pislo, ikar ilan asur. But bistama, below gido upislo ikar ilan asur bistama, aval gido upislo
asur ?
Question mark. Below gido upislo ikar ilan asur. Question mark. Why would it be a question mark?
In which case did Rabbi Yosef Sanver say?
One second. No, I don't. Below gido upislo ilan asur. No. It reads like this. Here, listen. Ikar ilan below gido pislo ikar ilan asur. When it says below gido pislo, okay, that ikar ilan is going to be asur. That's bistama. That's a regular case where he basically worshipped the tree without designating any part of the tree. But gido upislo gale adate de bitosefet nichale beikar ilan lo nichale. We're going to have two cases according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. You have a case where a regular Ilan, this is how we understood the case a few days ago, where you take a tree, it was planted for regular purposes, and then you decide, I want to worship this for the Asherah. At that point, you've forbidden the whole tree. That's a Stama case. But if you decide, Gid'o Pislo, and this is going to be the Mishnah, and then, right, then he says the whole thing is Asher. But if you say, I'm going to prune this tree in order to worship what grows from it, in that case, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that only the Tosefet is Asur. Because you basically pruned it for the purposes, right? That's not a Stam case. That's a Stasis case where you designated just the extra stuff. In that case, he'll agree that the Ikar Ilan is not Asur. Okay, so in a standard case, the Ikar Ilan is Asur according to him. But in a case like that, right? In a case where you specified, and that's the Mishnah was a specified case. That's how we can explain the Mishnah according to him. Ibait Ema Rabbanan. How can you explain according to Rabbanan? Gid'o pislo itzri chale. You need specifically, the Mishnah needed to tell you that case, even though it's true the Ikar Ilan would also be Asur. Because Salka da'ata chamina, kevan da'avad le ma'aseh begufe, Ikar, begufe, since you did a ma'aseh to the guf, Ikar Ilan nami litzar. Sorry, I didn't say it right. I said that below gid'o pislo nami tosar. Right. What was the question according to Chachamim? Chachamim will never be Osir the trunk, right? They're going to say the Tosefet is Asur, but the Tosefet should be Asur according to them, even if lo Gido Pislo. So why does it specifically give the case of Gido Pislo? Because it's to teach you that even if you did a Maaseh Begufei Ikar Ilan Nami, literally you might have thought, since I specifically pruned this tree in order for the growth to come, this is the exact opposite logic of what we said according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda a minute ago, maybe because I didn't add to the tree itself, I'm turning the whole tree into Isser. Like, I'm changing the whole status of the tree, and therefore it tells you, no. Specifically, Gid'o Pislo Still, the Ikari Lan is not Usur. Also, if Lokido Opuslo, and I just come over to this tree and I decide I'm going to worship this tree, also the Ikari Lan is not going to be Usur. But the Chiddush is that if I cut it, thinking I'm changing the this tree itself, maybe they would have said the Ikari Lan is Usur. No, even so, they don't. Okay, so that's how they explain according to both. Okay, new Mishnah. Ezu Ashera. What's considered an etz asherah? Okay, this sounds sort of like it's answering your question, Naomi, but we'll see, not exactly. An asherah is if you have underneath it avodah kochavim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol she'ovdin ota. No, you can't say the etz asherah is an asherah according to Rabbi Shimon just because someone worshipped idols underneath the tree. It has to be that someone worshipped the tree itself. Okay, so there's a machloket. Is an etz asherah just people worship under the tree? Or is it, it's like our pasuk we saw the other day, tacha kol etz ra'anan, underneath each tree, right? Is that talking about that people worship under the tree? Or maybe it means the tree itself. And here's a proof text for Rabbi Shimon. U'masevet saidan ilan shayu avdin ota, u'matzu tachtea gal. Okay, they found a pile of stuff underneath this tree. Amar lam Rabbi Shimon bidku et hagal hazeh. Okay, go check through this pile of rubble to see if there's avodah zara. Ubatku matzubo tzura, and they found some image. Amar lehen ho'il v'latzuraim ovdin natir lan et ha'ilan. He says it's clear now to me because we found this tzura underneath that they were clearly worshiping under the tree. They weren't actually worshiping the tree itself, and therefore the tree was mutar. So he proves a maaseh, uses a maaseh to prove his case. So now the Gemara is questioning this lashon of eza asherah. What do you mean, what's an asherah? We just said, in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah we saw today, there's three types of asherah, and they described it. So why all of a sudden now are they asking, what's an asherah? So now, and this asherah actually matches which case? Okay, we like I said, we mainly focused on the middle case, but the last case for the previous Mishnah was, if right? If you had a avodah zarah worshipping underneath, then it's mutar. So now they're going to say like this. This is the way you should be the next Mishnah, our Mishnah. Hachi kamar. Shtayim l'divrei hakol ve'chat machloket Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. The first two that you talked about, those three asherot, everyone agrees with. But the third case, that if you're hamit tachtei avodah kochavim and then you remove the avodah kochavim, well, that's actually a machloket, right? The Mishnah says it's mutar. The Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbanan would disagree and say that the whole etz is asur. Rabbi Shimon, so Ezehu Asherah Shenichlekuba Rabbi Shimon v'Chachamim, right? And then the Mishnah is basically telling you what's the case that Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim disagree as regards the Asherah. Kol sheyesh tachtei avodah kochavim. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol shovdinota. Kol shovdinota. Ezehu Asherah sta. Okay, sorry, I'm reading it. Chachamim Kol sheyesh tachtei avodah kochavim. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol shovdinota. Okay, Rabbi Shimon would say it's only an Etz Asherah if you actually worship it, but not worship underneath. Ezohi Asherah Stam. How do you know what a Stam Asherah tree is? Okay, how do you identify it? That's a good question. You're walking around and you see a tree and you see people doing something there, but you don't know exactly what they're doing, so how do you figure out? So this is your test, according to Rav. Kol shekomarim yoshvin tachtea ve'ein to'amim meperoteha. If you see that they sit under this tree and use it, so to speak, but they don't eat the fruits of the tree, right? What people would be near a tree, see beautiful fruits and not eat them? It must be they won't eat them because they view them as a god, as their gods. Ushmuel amar afilu amre, even if they say, hanu tamre lebein nitzarfe, asur. Derami beishichra v'shatele biyom edam. They say these tamarim are going to go for this drink that they made for their holiday, and they did eat the fruits, but if they ate the fruits for the purposes of their holiday, that would still be considered an etz asherah, because, yes, they won't eat them for regular purposes, but they'll eat them for their holiday. Well, that's okay, right? They can take something from their alil and use it for their holiday. Amar amemar, amar lisabat depumbatita halacha kashmuel. So Shmuel says that, and we, in fact, paskin like it. Okay, now, what things are you allowed to do with an etz asherah, or not allowed? So lo yeshev bitzila v'im yashav tahor. Okay, we need some background information. We talked about that avodah zara is mitame. Okay, there was a machloket in the previous stuff about is it mitame like a sheretz or is it mitame like a nida, which is basically is it mitame just b'maga if you touch it, or also b'masa if you carry it without coming in contact with it. Okay, different machloket about it exactly, but anyway, it's mitame. Okay, there were gozer that avodah zara is mitame. Okay, so now they wanted to keep people far away from it. So what about the tree itself? Is it metame or not? So you can't sit in its shade. Okay, now the shade, the idea is like this. Underneath the leaves, for sure, you're going to be usher, and it's going to be tame because it's also tumat ohel. They also say there's tumat ohel by avodah zarah, and therefore it's going to be anyone, like if you're in a graveyard, also, right, you're under a tree and the grave is not right, you're near the grave, also it will be ohel or mahil. But here we're talking about, so we have the tree, let's take a picture. We have a tree, and now we're going to see different types of shade. So there's under the tree itself is asur, okay? But what if when the sun comes, okay, it makes a shadow, and the shadow goes over to here, okay? So there's shade coming from, right? You go to the beach, you put up an umbrella, right? And you're nowhere near the umbrella, but it's shaded, right? Depending on the way the sun is hitting and what time of day it is. So the shadow, we're now going to have tzila, and we're going to have tzil tzila, okay? What's tzila and tzil tzila? The tzil is anything not under the leaves itself, but there makes a shadow, but only the height of the tree itself, right? We all know that shadows could be longer and shorter at different points in the day. So tzil is up to the height of the shadow, makes, right, the shadow is the same height as the tree. That's tzil. And once you get that the shadow is even longer than the tree itself, that's already tzil tzilo. It's more removed. Okay, so there's tzil and tzil tzilo. So right now it says lo yeshev b'tzila. The question is going to be, is the Mishnah talking about tzil tzila or tzil itself? Okay, remember, nobody thinks it's right underneath. Right underneath for sure is going to be even tame. So don't sit in the shade of the tree. Ve'im yeshev yashav tahor. But if you did anyway, you're not tame. It's just forbidden, but it doesn't make you tame. Ve'lo ya'avor tachteha. You shouldn't walk underneath it. Ve'imavar tame. And if you did walk underneath it, this is mamash underneath, okay, in the perimeter of the tree, then it's tameh. Haita gozelet et harabim. Let's say the tree jutted out into Rishud HaRabim, and you walk under the tree, right? It's public space. If that's the case, va'avar tachteh, you go even under the leaves. Okay, now we're going to learn. Yes, it's metameh like ohel, but they weren't gozer in Rishud HaRabim, right? The whole thing of tumah isn't actual tumah. It's that the rabbis decreed that it would be tumah. So when it's in Rishud HaRabim, already they said adkan. We're not going to bother you. If you walk under an Asherah tree in Rishud HaRabim, already, Avar Tachteh, you're going to be Tahor. And what's the reason? The reason is that they say it's, we also learned Safek Tumah B'Rishud HaRabim is Tahor. So maybe that's one of the reasons that only Safek Tumah in Rishud HaYachid, we learned that from the Sota, is going to be forbidden, but in Rishud HaRabim, it's going to be permitted. So maybe Midin Safek it is, or maybe just the rabbis weren't goes there, different reasons. Okay, so now we're going to read the Gemara and try to figure out this first line. Lo yeshev b'tzila v'im yashav tahor. Lo yeshev b'tzila, pshita. The Gemara says this is obvious, because then you're benefiting, right? If you sit in the shade of an Asherah tree, wouldn't that be obvious you're not allowed to sit in the shade? So, Amar Rabba Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo nitzracha ela l'tzel tzila. They must be talking about when the shadow goes beyond its height, and it's such a long shadow. What's the assumption here? That once the shadow is so long, the end of that shadow is already very pale. You're not really getting that much shade from it. So then they say, okay, well, if that's the case, remember, there's two sides here. There's a chumrah in this Mishnah, which is you can't sit in the tzel, right? Lo yeshev. But there's a kula that if you did it, you're tahor, right? You don't become tameh. So now they're going to say like this. Well, if this Mishnah is only referring to the tzel tzila, then michlal de betzel komata, if you go in the shade, the shadow, up to its height, im yeshev tameh, that you're trying to say then, well, tahur is only tzel tzila, right? So when it comes to, obviously, lo yeshev, not only betzel, also betzel tzila, but if you sat betzel tzila, you'd be tahur, but that means if you sat in the tzel, you'd actually be tameh. So they say, really, is that what you want to say? So then they say, lo. That's not, no, we're not inferring that. Just because we say it's not about tzil tzila, we're not inferring that. What are we trying to say? Ta'afilu l'tzil komata nami im yashav tahor. Even in the tzil, you'd be tahor. So then why did it specifically say tzil tzila? V'ha kamash v'la ta'afilu l'tzil tzila lo yeshev. They want to tell you that, again, there's l'chatchila b'di'evet, right? L'chatchila, ideally, you shouldn't sit under the tree, not in the tzil, and not even in the tzil tzila. However, if you sat in either of them, you'd be tahor. Okay, so the chidush is on the first part, lo yeshev. Even lechatchila, you can't sit in the tzeltzila. That's one way of reading this teaching of Rabbi Bar Chanan in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. But some people said it differently, that it starts off with the tahor part. Ika dematne la seifa. Some people said it was referring to the last part, and this is how it went. Im yashav tahor, if you sat there anyway, you're tahor. And they say, isn't that obvious? Pshita. Because what they think? They thought that it was talking about tzeltzila. And they're saying, well, of course that's obvious that if you sat in the tzeltzila, of course you're going to be tahor because you're so far removed. And Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, lo nitzucha ala letzel komata. And then they go the reverse. They say, no, it was really talking about in the shadow itself of the tree. And the chidush was, even in the shadow, the actual shadow, right, not the tzeltzila, even in the actual shadow, you're going to still be tahor. So then they say, well, if that's the case, michlal de betzeltzila afilu lechatchila yeshev, does that mean that even lechatchila, the lo yeshev is only talking about the tzila, in the tzel, but in the tzeltzila you can't? Again, this is going to go in the same direction. They say, lo, no, it actually is lo yeshev, both in the tzila and the tzeltzila. And the chidush here is, hakamash malanda, filu letzel kamatayim yeshev im yashav tahor. Right, the focus is on what's mutar here, and that even if you sat in the tzel, you'd be mutar. Okay, next part. Velo yavor tachtav v'yimavar tameh. Okay, you can't go underneath the tree in the shadow of the leaves, and imavar tameh, my time. It's not possible that there isn't some remnant of something of Avodah Kochavim under the tree. That's the assumption. If this was a tree that they use for worship purposes, there must be some remnant of something underneath, which would then be Matama, you like an Oa. Mane, who is this like? Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera Omer. Minayin l'tikrovet Avodah Kochavim shematama ba'oel. Here we get this chidush, that if you have some thing that was used for idol worship, it's mitami like an ohel. Shenemar vayitzamdu lebal peor vayochlu zivchei metim. If you remember, we talked about this already. We saw this way back, that it's mitami like ohel, because they were with, right, the people went with the baal peor, worshipped it, and they ate zivchei metim. So they say, what did we learn from this reference to metim here? Ma meit mitami ba'ohel. And therefore, if you walk under an Asherah tree, we can assume, this is where the Safek comes in. In other words, we can assume that there must be some Tikrovet of Avodah Kochavim. And that's why when we get to Rishud HaRabim, we're going to be Matri, because it's only an assumption that there's some Tikrovet of Avodah Kochavim. In which case, right, when you're under the tree, the leaves, you're basically going to contract Tumat Oa. Haita gozelet et harabim v'avar tachtea tahor. So again, if it's a reshut harabim and you go underneath, it's going to be your tahor. Ibailu, avar o over? Here's a very good question. Does this mean, the Mishnah says, if it was in reshut harabim and you happen to walk underneath it, then you're okay. But does that mean that I can actually see it, know it's an asherah, and walk underneath it? Or does it just mean if I accidentally walked underneath it, I'm okay? So, classic machloket. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar Mishmei Dechizkiah Omer Over, you can actually pass underneath without a problem, don't worry about it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Imavar, only if you went do we say you're okay. But if you knew it from the start and you decided to walk underneath it, it's a problem. The Lo Pligei, and actually there's no real machloket between them, it's interesting, even though it seems like a pretty basic machloket. Hadi Kadir Kachrina, Hadele Kadir Kachrina. Each one was talking about if there's no other way to go, then you're allowed to walk underneath it. But if there is some other way to go, then you have to walk around. Hamalei Rav Sheshet L'shame. Now we're going to have a situation. Rav Sheshet, which we're going to try to figure out what the deal is, he said to his shamash, Rav Sheshet was blind, and he had someone who walked him on the street. So he says to his shamash, Ki mati lahadim, when we get to this area, I know there's a lot of asherah trees, arihitne. Let's run, you know, run with me, okay? Run with me so we don't have an issue. So they say, what is the case? If there was no other way to go, what does it help to run? Right? You're allowed to go. Mishrashare, it's allowed. And if there is some other way to go, it's not going to help to run through. Okay? If there is some other way to go, then it's usher to run, to go underneath. So la'olam di'ika derech achrina, really there was another way to go. Vadam chashuv shan. I'm sorry, I said the opposite. To leka derech achrina, there's no other way to go. So he had to walk underneath it. So why did he run? Adam chashuv shane. He's an important person, and an important person needs to show an example. As he has to show, yes, it's true we can walk under here, but we should be cognizant of the fact that there's something here and we should try to avoid as best as possible. And what's the issue really? He didn't. Rabbis always have to worry, or important people, right? This is classic news of today, of, you know, our leaders should show better examples. That you should basically, you know, you have to, even if something's mutar, you should do it in a way that people don't misconstrue and read from, right? They might think that if they see you walking underneath it, even though there's no other way to go, they might not pay attention. Is there another way to go? Is there no other way to go? And they might think, oh, I can always walk under here. So if he runs, he makes people realize, oh, there's something different going on here and we have to pay attention. Okay, now we're going to get to a Mishnah that we saw part of it earlier. Zor'im tachtea yirakot b'yemot ha'gshamim, aval lo b'yemot ha'chama. You can plant things in the rainy season under the Asherah tree, but not in the summer months. Why? Because in the summer months, it provides shade for the crops to allow the crops to grow better. But in the winter months, it's not, you know, it's not getting any benefit from it. V'hachazirin, which is like chazeret, or the lettuces, lo b'yemot ha'chama v'lo b'yemot ha'gshamim, because the shade is good for it in all seasons. Rabbi Yossi omer af lo yirakot b'yemot ha'gshamim. Remember Rabbi Yossi? He said, even crops in the Yemot HaGshamim, even though you don't need the shade, what is it providing? The leaves fall, and the leaves falling provide fertilizer for it. Now we're going to see in the Mishnah right now, okay, before we read it inside, there's a concept which we've seen in other cases, Zeh v'zeh gorim. Okay, what's Zeh v'zeh gorim? By the way, this was also the whole thing with the bestiality and the animal, also, if she was not pregnant before and she engaged in bestiality and then she gets pregnant later, is the ubar forbidden or not? If this is an animal that was used, right, there was a whole thing there. Also, there's her, right, there's the female animal and then the male animal. And the male animal is mutar and the female animal has iser parts because she was used for engaged in bestiality, which is bad. So can you use this offspring for korban? It's a case of zeh v'zeh gorim. You have Zeh, some iser, something, and some heter. So you have a heter and an iser, and both of those things make up what's growing. So there was the fetus. Here we're going to talk about the crops. So according to Rabbi Yossi, who says the leaves fall and provide fertilizer for it, and that's forbidden, he's going to say, right, what are the crops growing from? Well, the ground, which is mutar, plus this fertilizer, which is asur. And he says it's asur because Zeh v'zeh gorim is usur. Okay, so if you say zeh v'zeh gorim is usur, you're going to say basically when you have the fertilizer and you have, you know, the fertilizer which is forbidden because it's from the Asherah tree, and you have the ground which is permitted because it has nothing to do with the Asherah tree, the ground underneath where it's growing from the nutrients, and the two mixed together create a forbidden concoction. According to the Tanakhama, zeh v'zeh gorim is mutar, and that's why this is okay. That's what the Gemara is going to assume right now. So Lameimra, are we going to assume here that Rabbi Yossi, who says that this is Aser, who Mimor HaGshamim, because of the fertilizer, Savar Zev Zegorim Aser, the Rabbanan Amre Zev Zegorim Mutar, and Rabbanan say, you don't have to worry, even in the Mimor HaGshamim, about the leaves fertilizing, right? You might say, maybe they don't think leaves fertilize. Maybe that's one answer, but they're assuming leaves fertilize, and therefore, Zev Zegorim is Mutar. Well, that's very nice theory. The problem is, ha ipchashaminan lehu. We actually learn that, right, the assumption here is Rabbi Yossi says it's aser, and Tanakhama says it's mutar, but we actually saw in a different case that they have the opposite shitot about zeh v'zeh gorim. So it doesn't make sense then. So how do we work this out? So how do we know ipchashaminan lehu? Ditznan, it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi omer, when you've come across a avodah zarah, what are you supposed to do? Shochek v'zoreh laruach o matil layam. Remember, you can grind it up and sprinkle it into the air. Okay, let the wind blow it away. And Amru lo, the Chachamim said to him, Afhina sa zevel. V'nemar lo yidbak biyadcha mu'ma min acherem. Right, so here, what do you see here? Kasha d'Rabbanan d'Rabbanan, Kasha d'Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi. They each totally contradict each other because Rabbi Yossi there said, you're allowed to scatter it and don't worry that it's going to fertilize the ground. And Chachamim said, no, you should worry that it's going to fertilize the ground, which would be Zev Zeh Gorim Aser. So it seems the exact opposite. So now we're going to explain at least Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Bishlam ad Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi, lo kasha. Hatam de ka'azal li'ibud matir. It's different when you grind up this avodah zarah and let the wind take it away. Okay, there's a few different interpretations here. I'll go with Tosfot, which made the most sense to me. how much you actually, how much is actually going to fall in it, right? It's so little. You grind it up into teeny pieces. A little bit goes here, a little bit goes there, a little bit goes there. That's not like leaves falling from a tree on top of the crops. That's serious. But this is libud. You're basically destroying it, and it's teeny little pieces. That's not enough of an amount to be a problem. But ha de lo kazal ibud. But in this case, with the leaves, it's not disappearing into the air. It's coming down right onto the crops. It's asur. Ela derabanan, the derabanan kasha. So what's the easy answer to say? Ipuch, switch the shitot. Okay, it's flipped. But then the Gemara says, no, ibay de malot ipuch. And then we're going to say, Rabbi Yossi kiddushanina. We already answered Rabbi Yossi, that's fine. And derabanan, I'll leave it for tomorrow. Derabanan, we're going to see tomorrow how we can explain the Rabbanan that there's no contradiction here. Okay? That'll be the answer.